Well, thank you for being here. Just full house today. And I'm so glad that you've chosen to be here instead of all the other places. And it's feeling kind of crisp. I started to wear, and I thought, I'm just feeling kind of like pumpkin-ish. And I thought, I'll wear my dark pants and an orange shirt. And I've been watching the Dish Haunted House, the Haunted Mansion. And somebody here said they were watching that last week. Who said that? Who raised their hand and said they've watched that on Dish? Didn't nobody? Well. Okay. Does anybody have Dish? Nobody? No wonder. Okay. They've got a haunted mansion, and it's great. Every time I watch it, and it's not gory or anything, but it's so fun. I'm having so much fun with that. Man, all the little kids in the world. But there's just these little creepy things, and I sit and I find something new every time. And all these characters on there remind me of people I've known. Maybe that's why I'm enjoying it so much. And the witch is up in the window of the mansion, then she goes out on her broomstick. And I thought, oh, that reminds me of several I've had to work with. And then there's these skeletons that come out. There's a graveyard up here, and the mansion's up here, and all these spooky things. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of the ground behind there comes a skeleton. I just love those skeletons. And this skeleton, and here comes one from the graveyard, another one from that way, and one from over here. And that poor middle skeleton is running. They're all running to meet each other. I thought they must have been old friends in life. But the middle skeleton catches his foot and falls, and his head rolls off. And it rolls off just plunk, 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 and this skeleton grabs it and kicks it like a soccer ball to the one over here, and he catches it, and then he throws it back. And this poor guy, the one without a head, is spinning around looking for his head. And then the main skeleton, the one that reminds me of myself and my childhood, he takes the head like a soccer ball and rears back, throws it as hard as he can to this one over here, hits him in the head, knocks him out, and he falls over. And then he runs up to the headless skeleton and puts his head on backwards, on purpose. And the poor guy's trying to walk like that. And this other guy is going around in front of him so he can't see him and runs off in the graveyard, hides. I just laugh. I get the bit. Because to me, you know why? He said, what? Are you serious? Yeah. Because I've seen people do these things. In an emotional way, in a religious way, I'm serious. There's one guy running around with his head cut off, you know, like he has no brain. And there's the others out there messing with him. And it's real life to me. I get a kick out of it. And all this stuff, and there's a pumpkin, and it's got a candle in it. And then all of a sudden, all these tentacles start coming out of the eyes and the mouth, you know, reaching for. And I thought, oh, yeah, I've known a bunch of folks like that. You know, they're just little tentacles, always reaching, seeing what they can grab. Anyway, maybe I'm. He said, you need help, son. You're way too far into this. You're writing a whole story with this little thing. Yeah. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I can relate to different characters and folks I've known. I got to tell you one more. We'll get into the message. It has nothing to do with the Haunted Mansion, but people send me stuff. Maybe two more real quick. And a little humor today. I just feel in a humorous mood. I got an inch and a half of rain, and I don't know, it made me happy. And so anyway, there's a deer hunter sitting in his little portable deer blind, little pop-up deer blind, and he's leaned back in his chair, and this doe sticks her head in the window of the blind. And it was so funny. She says, hey, man, when are you going to set that feeder off? I want some corn. I just couldn't help it. I said, this is great. And then I sent a text to Tom and then to Clayton. I don't know if you got it on there, but this was so funny. And you know, we've all experienced it, but this guy walks in to the veterans medical care clinic, right? And he walks, this guy's standing there, and he looks over, and there's this Union soldier sitting there with his sword on and everything, waiting to be seen. And this guy says, "I don't think this is a good sign." He's been waiting since the Civil War to see a doctor. Does that sound familiar when you go to wait the doctor's visit, though, anywhere? And you think, God, how long we have to wait here? Anyway, it's a long time. So enough humor. Anyway, I hope you get to see that. And I sent it. That is the funniest thing, that poor old Civil War soldier sitting there. He's been there a long time, hadn't been seen yet. And we've all experienced that. So anyway, this message today is just titled, I don't know what the title sometimes, but when you have Christ and Christ has you, this is out of 1 John, very familiar passage. It's not the first time I brought a message on this passage. First time it's been like this. And the Lord really impressed on me some things. It's just like, we got to make sure, everybody needs to be sure, there needs to be no doubt of where we are with the Lord and where He is with us. So let me read these passages real quick for you, with you. And it's 1 John 5. I love 1 John. I recommend when somebody accepts Christ into their heart, and people have asked often, more often than they used to, what's the first book that I should read as a Christian not knowing the Bible? And I always send them, I want you to read 1 John. And then I want you to read the Gospel of John. For new Christians, I want them grounded in the faith and God's love, first of all. So 1 John and the Gospel of John. And then you can ask, where would you send them from there? I start them on the Gospel. Start with Matthew and then read Mark and Luke. And after that, we'll talk about the epistles and where we're going to go with that. But those two books are critical. If you're trying to help someone, if you're struggling yourself, go to 1 John, read the whole thing. Then get over in the Gospel of John. So here's what these verses say here. And I'm going to speak with you today, beginning as if none of us are sure of our salvation and how we can be sure. So here we go. And he says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know we love the children of God: by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. Let these words sink in. Catch this. This is love for God, and keep His commands. In fact, he said, this is love for God, keep His commands, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God, hear this, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So let's take this thing and we're just, I'm going to, we'll speak first, right, just beginning, as if I'm before you and I'm not sure who in this room is saved. It'd be like me being invited to a place and I've been told, Tony, these folks are not sure where they are with the Lord or if they are at all. And so this first part is to ensure us all. And I approach this just as if I didn't know the Lord, and saying, how would this sound? How would I receive it? I need this to minister to me as a person in this particular moment that may not be sure or know if I do or not, because we don't want to guess. And I'll tell you what's behind some of this. You read other passages, and you go over in Matthew, and you read, ask, seek, knock, and all that, and then Jesus moves on. And then he talks about that the person who hears my words and does them is like a person who built his house on the rock. And the rains came down, and the floods came up. And all this stuff happened, he said, but his house stood because it was founded on the rock. And he said, but the person who hears my words and doesn't do those words, doesn't jump on them and start taking them into their heart and acting upon those words. He said that person's house is built on the sand, and when the rains come down, the floods come up, beat against that house, it'll fall. And Jesus said another place, you know, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And what is he saying? He's saying there's going to be a whole lot of people who sit in church maybe all of their lives, born in the pew babies, and there are others who think because they're part of a certain denomination that Jesus is going to hand them the key and say, you know, open the door and say, here's the key to the kingdom of heaven. And he's saying, there's people who have cast out demons in my name. That's what he says there. He said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, in the kingdom of heaven. He said, then they're going to say, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we work miracles in your name? Didn't we do all this? You can read this. And in your name. And he said, depart from me. I don't know who you are. And so, friends, listen to me. Don't listen to me, but listen to what God's saying through me and what God's saying through his word. He's saying the name of Jesus will cause demons to come out of people even if you don't know Jesus. And miracles can happen because God has given, exalted Jesus to the highest place, and God has given Jesus the name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth beneath the earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And so what he's saying is, the name of Jesus is so powerful, so strong, you may not even know the Lord, and you're using his name, and miracles happen, demons are cast out, just fantastic things. Everybody's saying, wow, look at you, look at you. And God is saying, I don't know who you are. Well, how could he say that about all those things happening through someone? I'm going to tell you this right now. Listen to me. There are people on television. There are people on TV, on your computer. There's people bringing the word this morning, and things are happening in their churches, and they may be huge. But there's some of those folks who very likely are going to stand before God, and he's going to say, I don't know who you are. You didn't preach my pure word while you were on earth because you didn't know the pure Christ. And they're going to say, but look at the size of my church. And I drove a Bentley. You ought to see my Porsche. You ought to see my condominium down on the coast. And God is saying, I see it. I see it. But you're not going to see it anymore. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And I'm not trying to slam anybody. I'm trying to speak the truth up here and say this. He tells you right here, first of all, you know, you said you know that you, when you have Christ, when you have Christ and Christ has you, this is one first thing you're going to know. You're going to know that you're truly saved. And how do you know that? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now listen to what he's saying. He said, I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. And if we, you know, and what does that mean? When I believe in Jesus Christ, I can't help it. Jesus is going to convict me of my sins. He's going to speak to my heart. He's going to say, Tony, to come to me, I want your heart clean. I want you to tell me, honestly, your sins. Go on, Tony, say it. When I would, you know, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I can't even name them all. And God's saying, but you're confessing all that you know. And when that's what comes. See, confession and repentance come with salvation. Paul said over in Romans, what? If we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Right? If we believe in our heart Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with our mouth God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And what is he saying? I've got to believe in my heart Jesus is Lord. And if he's Lord, I've got to be clean with him. I confess my sins. I repent of everything. And then I come to Christ and he cleans my slate, right? He washes away my sins. He does it, though, not because I confess, just confess, but because with confession, with repentance, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I'm confessing my sins to you because you are worthy. You are the Lamb of the living God. You're the sinless Son of God. And you died on the cross for my sins. For my sins. That's why I'm confessing. Because you died for my sins. Because of my sins. And Lord, I'm confessing to you. I'm an unworthy person. I'm coming to you and I want to be clean. And Jesus said, thank you for confessing. Now take the next step. What's the next step? ask me to come into your heart. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. And whosoever will open the door, I'll come in with him. I'll sup. I'll be intimate with him. I won't leave you. I'll cleanse your heart. I'll cleanse your house. I'll be your guest, and then I'll be with you, your friend, your Savior, and Lord forever. So I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, a sinner. My righteousness is as filthy rags before you. God, forgive me. Come into my heart and save me. And the gavel strikes in heaven and says, done. You are free through the blood of the Lamb. And now Jesus is in you and you are in him. You look over in John chapter 15, and he says, abide in me and let me abide in you. And there it is. And if you have any doubt, it's done now. That's the way it is. And there's a lot of people that have grown up in churches, and they think because they've heard about Jesus, they've heard about God, they've heard about angels, they've heard about the Bible, and they can quote. Listen, I've had these people when I was first saved, I didn't like any of those kids in that church. You know why? Because they had those Bible drills. You've heard me mention them. I have nightmares over them still. I'm 17 years old, and I don't know the Bible. And I've just asked Jesus in my heart. I've gone through this very thing I just shared with you. Well, all those kids have been grown up in the church. And did anybody ever do Bible drills in a Baptist church? Ready? Does anybody know the sequence? You're holding that Bible like this. Ready? Draw swords. Right? Go. And you turn it, am I close? Something like that. And you turn that Bible up. And while they're quoting scriptures, and I'm looking in the index trying to find the book it's in. And they're all snickering. I learned years later, I don't care how much scripture you know or how fast you can find it, that won't get you one inch closer to heaven. What causes you to be in heaven is when you open that word as slow as you may be opening and as long as it takes you to read it, and every word of it has an impact on you, and you receive it into your heart. You receive Jesus because of it, and you confess your sins because of it, and you're willing to grow and obey his commandments because of it. Friend, that's a house built on the rock, and it'll never fall. And you don't have to have another doubt in your mind, your heart, nothing ever again. Oh, listen to me. There's not a sinner in this place. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's not a one of us. There's not a one of us that will sin. Will sin. If I was trapped down there like Ed was this morning and all of that shut down road, there could possibly have been some non-pastoral thoughts crossed my mind. I might have perhaps gotten close, and that's like, that's a joke. I would have been mad. And I would have told God where all those people need to go that would do that on a Sunday to me. I take all that personally, by the way. It's a direct insult. And I'm sure Ed didn't do that. But I did. I would. And I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I know that I'm subject to sin. And those who know me know that I'm a peaceful man. Never have a contentious moment in my life. And so you know that everywhere I go, peace just flows from the very robes. These are my robes that I wear. And God also knows that's the biggest lie I've told in church in a long time. The truth is, God's had to work on a temper thing with me since I was old enough to run around and I had a temper. And I'm looking at the peaceful people in here, and I know that nobody else has that problem, and so please pray for me. Because, I mean, there's just things. Why do we take things that just because we're mad and break them that don't need to be broken, then we have to go buy another one? I know you can't understand what I'm saying because nobody has that problem here, but, you know. Why do you kick something and later you're mad because you kicked it and put a dent in it? Struck a note back there. Anybody on this side ever had that issue? You know? We all sin. We're all sinners saved by grace. We really are. When I was a kid, I got even with people by hitting them with rocks. And I've mentioned that before. A lot of you are new here. I wasn't very big, very large as a kid. It was a very small frame. It took me a long time to ever grow up. And so the kids really beat up on me in school. And I had three antagonists that all, oh my gosh. They were bad. And they were bullies. But when I got a chance, I could sell a rock, get a flat rock. I could throw a through sidearm a whole lot. I could sail a flat rock a long ways and zip one of them right in the back of the head. And I just loved to do it. And then I'd blend in with the crowd and they'd be trying to figure out who knocked that kid down. And I'm over there just like that witch that took off. Anyway, so I stand up here is an example of what a person who's a sinner, saved by grace, how they can be used of God and what they can do. You can teach a class, you can bring a message, you can witness to people, you can stand by their bedside, you can comfort them in their pain, and still be a sinner saved by grace. We're never free from all of our sins. We are free from judgment of those sins. Is everybody with me? And so what he says here, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Isn't that great? You take that comfort. You're in good shape. God loves you. And he said, I want you to strive to live in Christ. He said, abide in me. That means you strive. None of us are perfect. We have our moments, we have our days. But he said, because Jesus is in you, his Holy Spirit will cause you to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you'll be filled because of it. And he'll cause you to want to read the word. Now, friend, as a Christian, you know you've asked Jesus in your heart, you know you're saved, but something's gotten dull about that scripture reading, then let's ask God to do what the psalmist said, right? Lord, search my heart and know me, and reveal to me any unclean thing. And I'll confess it, Lord, get it cleaned out of me. What am I hiding from you? Obviously, I can't hide it from God, but I think I can. What is it I'm trying to conceal? What is it I don't want to deal with? What's this sin habit I have? God, come on, get it out. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. Because when Christ is in us, he's going to convict us of sins. He's going to bring love out. We're going to get that in a moment. He's going to make us aware of Scripture. He's going to give you a hunger for it. And if you don't have a hunger for it, if you're sitting there saying, I just read Scripture, I've been there. I've been there. When I was out of the ministry, I was there. I'd read Scripture, and it just was nothing. It was like just dry crackers. I'd read Scripture and couldn't get anything out of it. Do you know why? Because my heart was broken. My heart was damaged. My emotions were shattered. And I'd lost feeling. I'd lost touch. I was grieving the Spirit because I was dwelling on all the unfairness of life. And I was going out trying to prove to God, I just go do what I want to do. You didn't protect me. You didn't keep me from all this. You didn't stop all these people railing on me and causing this to happen. I never shared that aspect, I guess. But I have nothing to hide with it. I hope it'll help you. And so I just wanted to rebel. I spent all this time, gone to seminary, giving my life to you. And look at all this crud that happens. Some of the meanest people in the world, and you're trying to deal with them, and finally you just break. Nothing you try works. And it's like, you called me to this. I gave up my career. I gave up my military service. I gave up everything to follow you, and this is what's happening. Now my heart's broken, my life's wrenched apart, and I find myself out here in the manure pile of life. Just trying to get a clean breath of air. And then there had to come that time when I realized it all happened for a reason. And Tony, you're where you are for a reason. And you got to let go of this bitterness and this anger, this pain, and this torture you're putting yourself through, and this self-suffering. And you fall on your face before God. That's what I did. On the dirt, right on the ground, God, either make me, fix me, heal me, forgive me, restore me. Either do that, put me back in the ministry, or please take me right now. I don't want to live anymore if I'm going to be this way. Now, friends, listen. Having been there and done that, I can tell you it takes what it takes with all of us. Some of you don't have to be brought that far in anguish. Some of you, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I was grieved. I grieved the Spirit. I couldn't read the Word because it was just dry. Literally, I called it the dry cracker experience. It's just like eating dry crackers with no water or nothing to drink. I just couldn't. I choked on it. Because the Holy Spirit was grieved. And you can let so much stuff build up in you that you grieve Him and it all becomes dry. And God didn't do that. You did it. You may not have known you were doing it, but you allowed it to happen. You did it. And you just confess it. Get it out. I'm not getting anything out of the Word. You know why, God? Here's what it came down to. Because you're not getting anything out of me. I've closed my heart and mind to you. And flat on your belly, breathe in the dirt, and God just says, come on. I forgive you. I'm going to use everything you've been through to make you a man you've never dreamed you would be in Christ. And then you'll be back up there sharing with people. Here I am this very day. What you've been through, why you've been there, and what can come of it. Take hope, friends. You're a Christian. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, you've confessed your sins, and you might have blown it, and you may be out there so mad at God, you may be this morning that you can't see straight, and if you'll just listen to His convicting spirit saying, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'll never leave you, forsake you. Come on now. Get it out. Confess it, and I'll fill your heart overflowing, and I'll put you back out there, and you'll be better than you ever were. That's what salvation is all about. And by the way, if you're going to tell me this morning I just feel so guilty, I know I'm all the time I'm cussing and I'm carrying on, I'm doing it, and I feel bad about it every time, I must be lost. No, if you were lost, you wouldn't feel anything. Only a saved, born-again believer in Christ feels rotten when they sin. So you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. I hear people say, well, I love God, but I'm just not sure that Jesus, you're lost, son, you don't know anything. If you say you love God, you've got to love his son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it, buddy. You're not going to do it through Muhammad. You're not going to do it through anything else. DEI or woke or anything else. Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. That gets you slapped down today in a lot of circles. Been slapped before, haven't you? In one form or another. You have God. You have Jesus. You've asked Him in your heart and He has you. And no matter where you are right now, if you just open up your heart and say, God, forgive me. I want you to restore me right here, right now, this minute. I've sure been a terrible sight, Lord. I'm like the publican that stood afar off and beating on my chest saying, God, I can't even look up. I'm so rotten. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And God is saying, I do. I do. Lift up that head and just gaze into my glory. Just look and is it just let me embrace you for the moment and encourage you that you're my child. And the Holy Spirit bears witness, says in Romans, that we are his child and joint heirs with Christ. And we call him Abba Father. That word in the Greek, Abba, means dear, dearest, dearest Father. Well, Tony, better move on. My goodness, we held on to this one a while. So I hope it helps. I pray this is a ministry that's striking deep into the heart, encouraging you to walk out of here, know, and never doubt. You can't doubt. You must not allow, not an ounce of doubt, not for a moment, that you're saved and that Jesus loves you. And we're getting to that. So secondly, when you have Christ and He has you, you know that you're truly saved. And then secondly, You show others that you're saved, that you're really saved, that you know Christ. How? They see Him in you. You've got to let people see that you're saved. Don't hide Him from folks. Some of you are going to be having meals pretty quick. I can't believe how fast it's rolling around. Thanksgiving, Christmas, you're going to have meals with family members who probably have hinted or said, and some of you, in some way or another, you know, I don't mind coming. We're not going to talk about, you know, that, you know, you just keep your religion. I'm going to tell you this right now. There comes a time when you say, you come to my house, buddy, you're going to hear about Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray in His name. And we're not going to stuff Him down your throat. But we're going to thank Him for putting that turkey and that ham and all those sweet potatoes and all that cranberry and all that good stuff on the table. He's the one that provided it. And if you think I'm not going to thank Christ in front of you, you got another thought coming. That's the way it has to be. Quit compromising. I'm not here for people to like me. I'm here to let them see Christ in me and like Him. That's my job. And then to turn that like into love for Him. That's your job too. I'm not here to get glory or appreciation or thanks from people. I like it, but I'm not here for that. That's not my calling. It's not yours. You know what our calling is? To give Him the praise and the honor and the glory. We take second place. He takes first. That's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said, if you do that, everything you need will be added to you. I'll give it. I'll take care of you. And so we come and we show others. And you know how others see that Jesus is in us? It's not just by... Listen. Too many Christians... I've watched this over the years. This is not against you, but I've seen this out there. And they think by blowing off their mouth about Jesus that that's a testimony. That has run more people away and caused more people to not want to be in church than anything I know of. You know what draws people to Christ? When they see our humility. They see our obedience. They see that our character is just not like everybody else's character. That we can walk away from an insult. That we can actually hold that temper. That we can look at a person who caused it, the argument, who's causing the strife, and say to them, I'm sorry this has happened. And I'm sorry that I've done anything to add to it. Forgive me. And we walk off and leave it with them. We heap burning coals on their heads when we do that. Friends, you know how people also know we're Christian? When we're willing to confess in front of them that we blew it. When our carnal pride and carnal ego is now put under submission to Christ, and I say something and I can look at the person immediately and say, I shouldn't have said that. I'm absolutely wrong, and I ask your forgiveness. And you can be thinking, boy, they said something so ugly to me that, you know, they made me do it. The devil made me do it. Remember all that? No, he didn't. He just gave you the opportunity and you took it. People are impressed when we can humble ourselves and say, I was wrong. Husbands and wives, please let this sink in. Please be able to look at one another and say, I was wrong. My tone of voice stinks. Forgive me. My attitude was rotten. I'm sorry. And that's how you keep loving each other all the days of your lives when you do that kind of stuff. Quit blaming. Accept responsibility for your own actions. And you know another thing that people need to see in us, and you know, when they know Christ is in us, do you know what they do? They trust us. People need to know that they can trust you with their deepest, darkest secrets. And you'll take it to heaven with you and never tell a soul. But God. Friend, be trustworthy. Be trustworthy with what somebody says to you. I wish I could go on with this part, but we need to close pretty quick. Others see Christ in us and they know they can trust us. And they know that you'll never make excuses for your sins and for your shortcomings. And you'll never, listen to this, a true Christian is admired and respected by people, if for nothing else, for the fact that other people know that you as a true Christian will never throw them under the bus, ever. When you're being accused and attacked and all the stuff is happening and the heat's coming down, you're not going to turn and put the blame on them, shift it over to them, throw them under the bus. Leave them hanging. They'll know you'll take the hits, take the punches, let yourself take the blame, and you'll never, ever. Listen, we need that, and every church needs that. Every one of us needs to be able to look at the other and say, I know you'll never throw me under the bus. I know you'll never sell me out. I know no matter how I might tick you off, you're going to be standing there, and you won't throw me out. God, what trust that is. Don't you trust Jesus to do that? You ever thought about it? Don't you trust Jesus to never throw you under the bus? He could, you know. He could have said that night he was arrested, my dirty, rotten, no good disciples, my little group I've spent all this personal, intimate time with, ran. And one sits in the courtyard lying that he knows me. He could have turned around in front of those that had him right there and said, that's my follower sitting there, by the way. Get him. And I'll name the rest of them to you if you'll let me off with a lighter sentence. Plea bargain a little. Let me close with this. Somehow I'm going to close this message. Don't ask me how. You know that you have Christ and He has you when you have love and you give love from the heart. You give it through God's Holy Spirit. When you love God's people, no matter when they fail you, when they disappoint you, when you have to suffer for what they've done or not done. You see, friends, it's pretty easy to love somebody when they're doing everything we want them to do. The true test of love comes when they do the absolute opposite. And instead of being cuddly little chipmunks, they're just stinky little skunks. And God says, I want you to love them, whether they're a little cuddly chipmunk or they're a nasty stinky skunk. You say, why would God expect that from me? And we know the answer because He said, that's the way I receive you. When I first saved you, you were a stinky little skunk. I turned you into a cuddly little chipmunk and dead gum if once in a while you don't want to run out there and just spray everybody. Don't we? You say, why are you using a chipmunk as an illustration? I'm just drawn to little chipmunks. I like the little things. They're so cute. And I used to take out little pieces of apple stuff when I used to be able to go up in the high country and more than I do now. And I'd just pitch little pieces out so they'd come out and eat. And they kind of get used to you. And if you get them too used to you, they're in your sleeping bag. They crawl up in your pillowcase. You got to get them out of there. And I mean, they just want to be real close to you. So be God's little chipmunk, okay? Don't be a little skunky. Listen to me. You have love when you're willing to suffer so somebody else can have a better life, a better experience. When you're willing to just step back and say, God, bless them. Let them have the blessing in this. Let them have the credit, even though I'm the one that did all the work. And let me share this with you. God's love will always push against, and you make note of this, His love will always push against anything and everything that tries to hold it in. Anger, bitterness, offenses, whatever it is, God's love is going to come out. And that's why many a Christian is so miserable this very day, because they're resisting God's love with some attitude, some offense that's been committed, something that they just can't or say they can't, and they refuse to let go of, and yet His love, His Holy Spirit of love, is pushing against that, saying, I must come out. Love is a living water. Faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love, and I'm going to come out. And we're going to push all that venom aside, because love is what it's all about. Just a note. I've never seen, besides faith, anything tested. Even a bum faith. I've never had anything in my life tested like love. You say God will test your faith? I'm going to tell you something. People will test your love. Everybody say yes to that? Yes. You will get tested. I've never seen any characteristic, any element, any part of God's being in my life tested like love is. Because, I mean, people will come at you, things will come at you, just make you want to hate them to the core. Turn on any news station just about and see if you don't get mad and start hating pretty quick. It's interesting how God allows things to happen to just put the test of love right in our faces. In preparing this, God, He gives you images, and He gave me the image of Peter, and there they are on the seashore. And you know what He was saying to him? This is after Peter denied Him, and Jesus appeared to him, and Peter was still feeling pretty low, even though he was restored. And then Jesus said, come here, boy. That's my way of saying it. But He said this, Peter, you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And you know the story. Feed my fish, sheep, feed my lambs. But He challenged him with something. You know what it is? Peter, do you love me more than your family? Do you love me more than being a disciple? Do you love me more than the people here closest to you in your entire life? Do you love me more? You know why he was asking him that? Because Jesus knew the time was coming when Peter would be tested with that love. Are you going to put your family, people, even your church, your denomination, before Jesus Christ? Do you love me, Jesus, more than these? And you'll get tested in it. And I got to tell you something, folks. I've had some hard struggles with this. Tony, do you love Jesus more than you love your sister? Your church? Than some of your hobbies? I'm going to leave you with this hope. I hope all of this is hopeful and helpful, but I'm closing with this. I said I was closing. I'm sorry. There's a sin. I lied. Now I'm telling the truth. I didn't mean to. I thought I was closing and realized you got another point. I want to close with this because it's the most encouraging part of all. When you have Jesus and He has you, you'll have faith. Hear this. Don't tune out yet because we are on the run out right here, but you got to run out with this. You're going to have faith in Jesus Christ. You're going to have faith in God. And you're going to have faith that God is working all things to your good and for His glory. You're going to have faith that Christ is in you and is overcoming the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the love for the world and everything in it. You're going to have faith that God will never leave you or forsake you. You're going to have faith that God knows what you have need of before you ask Him. You're going to have faith that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're going to have faith that God will meet all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You're going to have faith. You're going to have faith. They're going to have faith that no one can pluck you out of His hand. No one. And you're going to have faith that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, me, believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And you'll have faith that God God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. That's what you'll have the faith in. And God, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for the power of it, and we thank you for the love that's in it. We thank you for the goodness and the grace. We thank you that we can sit here and know we're saved. We're forgiven. We're loved. And we have faith that you are all these things and more. And that our God is always here. And he loves us eternally. And we also have faith. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And we'll get to stand there and be embraced and welcomed in. And here is your mansion prepared for you. That's how it'll end. And right now, this is how it lives. And we thank you for it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen.